Faith, Rock Next to Church. And it's a four-week series that we've started. And we get that from the scripture from Acts chapter 2 is where we find what an Acts 2 church is all about. And in there, you can go read it at some other time. But in there, it talks about that they were devoted to themselves, that they were devoted to prayer, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, and they gathered together. And many signs and wonders were being done. Things were happening. People were getting saved. And all those who gathered, they had all these things in common. And we know what that thing that was in common was. They had Jesus. That's what was the commonality. They had all that in common. And they were giving. They were helping the needy. They were helping the poor. They were helping those who were struggling. And the Lord added to their number. That's what an Acts 2 church is all about. And that's what we want Rock Church to be. We want to be that type of church where we gather together and we fellowship and we break bread together. It's always good to throw a meal in when we're getting together. Food is always just it's the glue, I think, that brings us all together. Especially if it's Mexican food, then it really bonds and tightens. I may be a little partial to that, but they're just getting together. And that's what we want to do as a Rock Church. And we kind of just developed a model, a church model, about that. And you'll see that there's different circles about that. And in the center is worship, right? In the center of it all, in the heart of it all, is worship. The foundation of what Rock Church is we worship. And then there's the circles on the outside. Is we connect, we go, and we serve, and we grow, and we do those things. And the first week I talked about connecting and what it means to connect with God, connect with this church, connect with one another, and how those connections strengthen us so that we don't have to do this church life alone. We do it together. We're stronger. We're better together. You know, the scripture says a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And together, we're not easily broken. And then last week, Pastor Christian talked about growing. And I heard he did a fabulous job. I got to listen to his message. It was great. And he said that healthy things grow and growing things change. Healthy things grow and growing things change. So as a church, we're not just supposed to sit here and just plant ourselves in these seats and just sit there. We got to grow. We got to expand. We got to go out and do things. And we do that and we become a new creation in Christ. And we do that when we pray, and we read his word, and we fellowship together, we hang out together, and when we delight with one another. So we talked about connecting, we talked about growing. Today we're going to talk about serving. We're going to talk about serve. Now the definition of serve from the dictionary is perform duties and services for another person or an organization. That's what serving is. And I thought about, you know, how am I going to preach today, Lord? What do you want me to talk about? And I could have went on and talked about, you know, the many ways that we serve in church, right? We can serve in kids' ministries. We can serve in youth ministries or young adults or women's or men's. We can serve in all those different areas, right? But I think as a church, we kind of get that. We kind of know that, yeah, we need to serve. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't volunteer and don't step up and serve. Yeah, we always need people to volunteer and help out and be a part of it. But I didn't want to focus on that this morning. And I could have talked about, you know, what it means to serve the community or to serve outside this church. But I think as a church, we do that pretty well. I mean, we were able to send 8 different teams up to Carrizo over the past 2 months to go and minister. I think we got the heart of what it means to serve outside the community. I think we've got that. And that's great for this church. And I could have talked about, you know, what it means to serve one another, to be a part of their lives and to be there for each other. But if there's one thing that this church and this body does well, is that we are there for each other. We honor each other. This is a friendly church. The hospitality is out the door. I mean, we've heard so many times over and over that people come in that, oh, yeah, I was so welcomed in this church, and everybody was so friendly, and everybody was so giving, and I think this church gets it. I think we're a friendly church. We love people, and we like to be them. So this morning, I want to talk about what it looks like to serve and to do acts of service from a little bit of a different viewpoint. I want to get the viewpoint from some of the people that we read here in this book. here in this Bible. I want to get the viewpoint of those that might, or that we can read about, and we learn from them. You know, how did they show service in their lives? What did they do that showed others how to serve? And what does it really mean to serve an idea or a belief or a way of life? What does it mean? So I want to take a look at three different stories here in the Bible. And the first one I want to take a look at is the story of Ruth and Naomi. Now that's found in chapter 1 of Ruth. And let me give you a little backstory of what's going on right here before we get to the scripture. You go ahead and leave that up there, Bob. That's fine. So Naomi and her husband Elimelech, they had decided to leave Bethlehem. There was a famine going on right there, and then things weren't working out so well. And so they decided, hey, let's go to the country of Moab. And let's go move there, and let's try to earn a living there, and let's try to make our lives a little bit better. So Naomi, Elimelech, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, went to the country of Moab. So they packed up all their belongings, and they moved there. And while they were there, Naomi's husband dies. Well, that's not a great start to an adventure. It's not a great start to the beginning of the story, but what are you going to do? That's life, right? Sometimes in life, things like that happen. So Naomi decided to stay there, and her sons married. Her sons married two ladies that were there, and they were married for about 10 years, and then her sons die. Her sons pass away. So now, you know, that's really a hard situation or a tough predicament. So now it's just Ruth and her two daughter-in-laws. I mean, it's Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. And so Naomi decides, I'm going to go back to my homeland. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem and live there. And the daughter-in-laws, who didn't have husbands or didn't have anything, decided to go along with her. And along the way, Naomi had a heart-to-heart talk with those two ladies and said, look, I'm a little old in age. I'm not going to be able to, you know, have any more kids or offer you any more sons for marriage. I'm not going to be able to provide for you. You know, I'd have nothing else. So, you know, I suggest that you guys go back and start your lives back over there. And so Orpah decides to return. But Ruth decides to stay with Naomi. And this is the part where we wanted to read from. Ruth's answer to Naomi. And it's found in chapter 1 of Ruth, starting at verse 16. It says, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And may the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that, she was determined to go with her. She said no more. So I look at Ruth's answer and find out, you know, what does it mean to serve in that answer she gave? And the first thing I kind of pick out is that Ruth was loyal. So in order to serve, we need to be loyal. It takes some commitment. It takes some devotion. It takes time for us to invest and be there and not give up or run away. I need to find a place to put this. It's interesting. We got different lights, and now it's casting shadows all over my notes. So I don't know where to put this. Hold on one second. All the struggles. There it goes. Okay. Hey, how you guys doing? I'm back. Anyways, we were talking about Ruth. So what is it that you think made Ruth want to follow Naomi? What is it that made Ruth want to tell Naomi, say, hey, look, where you go, I go. I'm not leaving you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. I wonder what it was that made Ruth come to that conclusion. How did Naomi live her life that Ruth wanted to do that? And so then I look back and I point that back to us. You know, how are we living our lives? How are we serving God that would make other people want to do what we're doing? Or want to make other people live how we're living? See, Naomi lived a loyal life. She was loyal to God. She was loyal to her beliefs. She was loyal to her family. And she was loyal. And I'm wondering if are we that loyal when it comes to serving God? Are we loyal enough to give up what's safe and what's familiar to us? Are we loyal enough to go where he's telling us to go? Right? I mean, it could be that he's calling us to go here to Rock Church. Excuse me. And that's an easy one, right? There's really no sacrifice and no commitment to that. Or he could be calling you to go to school far away. I think of Yasmin, who left and packed up and went all the way across the United States to go to SEU. First time I think she'd been away from everybody, first time away from her family, and she moved to Florida. But she felt it was God's calling on her life, and she felt good about that, and she did it. You know, so she was loyal to that, her belief in God. And then I look at people who go to Carrizo and give of their time and give of a Sunday and drive into a small community, to an unfamiliar church, that they really don't know the people there, but they're loyal to God, and they know that God's not going to put them in a spot where it's going to be, that they're not going to be able to handle, they're not going to be able to bear. So are we loyal enough to put our trust in him? Because Ruth looked at Naomi and said, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. And you got to look at Naomi, right? She doesn't have a great track record. First her husband dies. Then her two sons die. You know, she's not having the best of luck. In fact, if it wasn't for bad luck, she probably wouldn't have any luck at all. But yet, Ruth still looked at her and said, I want to be like you. I want to go where you're going. I want your people to be my people. I want to serve you. I want to serve your God. And do we do that? Are we loyal enough for people to say the same about us? Are we living that loyal Ruth lifestyle? It's not easy to do. It really isn't. But we need to live that lifestyle without hesitation, without fear, but trust and knowing that God has the best for us. Ruth's loyalty, I don't think, ever wavered. I think she knew from the start, and from her answer, she knew, I'm going with Naomi. No matter what, I'm going with her, and I'm going to be with her. She never gave up. So serving is loyal. You got to be loyal. Serving is sometimes giving up what we know or what we want. Sometimes we got to just put it out there and say, you know, God, this is my heart, this is my desire, but I want to serve you. I want to do what you've called me to do. I want to go where you have called me to go. So I give up all that I want, and I trust you in it. And Ruth did that. Right? She gave up what she wanted. Now, I'm sure Ruth had her own desires, her own dreams, her own ambitions, her own hopes, right? She married a nice man from Bethlehem and was hoping to raise a family, you know, have 3.5 kids and have a house out in the suburbs of Moab and, you know, drive a nice little, well, they wouldn't be minivans back then, nice horse-drawn cart with extra seating for all the kids. She had her dreams. She had her hopes. But she gave it all up to serve Naomi, to serve her God. And sometimes serving means we have to give things up. And it's not always giving up bad things. It's not always giving up things that are bad for us or that don't benefit us. When we moved out here in 2002, I got involved in the Royal Ranger ministry. And Bob, if you want to put that picture up with the Royal Rangers, that'd be great. And so I started being involved in Rangers. Right, started at our church with a small outpost. I think our first year we had about 9 boys and just kind of worked diligently at it and just kept going at it and grew up to about, probably at the highest point, we had about 35 boys there. And along the way, as I was doing that, I became a trainer for the Royal Rangers. I was training the leaders. And a few years after that, they asked me to be the Arizona District Training Coordinator. I would coordinate all the training over Arizona. And so I was doing that, and I got involved in national camps. Right? The national office would hold national camps here in Arizona, and I'd be a part of that. And then I was asked to be the district director of Royal Rangers, to oversee the whole Royal Ranger ministry in the state of Arizona. And I did that, and I was doing that, and that's what God had called me to do. And I loved it, and I was involved in it, and had a great time. And I thought, man, I'm going to be a Royal Ranger forever. Right? I know Tim knows that feeling. You know, when you get involved in Rangers, it's a special ministry, and it's fun, right? I mean, I went camping at least 5 different camping trips a year, easily, not to mention all the extracurricular stuff. I got to go to Dallas for conferences. I got to go to California to help train. I loved it. It was hard on my wife because I traveled so much, but that's where God had called me. And then I came here. I came here and got a new calling, got a different direction. And though I tried to do it for a year, I tried to do both Royal Rangers director and associate pastor, it didn't work. It didn't work. They both were suffering. I couldn't give my attention that time. Now, if we had like 36 hours in a day, yeah, I could probably do it. But we don't have 36 hours in a day. And so I had to give it up. And that was a hard pill to swallow. I remember sitting at dinner with some friends of ours, and he was saying, what have you been up to? And I kind of explained my calendar and how busy it was and what I was doing. And he looked at me and goes, so what are you going to give up Rangers and do what God has called you to do? I was like, oh, thanks, friend. Appreciate that. No, he's a really good friend, and I really trust and value his opinion. And I said, you're right. I said, you're absolutely right. I can't do both. And so God moved me from Royal Rangers to be an associate pastor here. And it's great. I love being here. I love being with you guys. I love being part of this church, part of this fellowship. And it was tough. It was tough leaving those Rangers and leaving that camaraderie and all the fun that we had doing that stuff. Because I love the outdoors. I love being out there. It was fun. I liked dressing up like an old frontiersman and sleeping in a tent. And all right, maybe I should clear a little bit. You know, we were frontiersmen. We dressed the part. But when we went back to our lodges at night, we had bunks and heaters and lots of comfort inside our tents. But outside the tent, I was a rugged mountain man with my hawk and my knife strapped to my side, and don't mess with me. But it was fun. But sometimes serving means you have to give up. And I had to give up Rangers. After 16 years of being involved in that ministry, I had to give it up. And it was tough. It was tough, but I'd rather serve my God. I'd rather be faithful to Him and do what He's called me to do than to live outside of that. And then the last thing that Naomi said, or Ruth said, was, I will die and be buried with you. So serving is till the end. Serving is not just a temporary thing we do or a part-time thing we do. If we're a follower of Christ, and we claim to be a believer of Him, then service is part of that calling, part of that commitment that we've made. And it's till the end. Because like I said, Ruth said, where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. We got to be in it for the long haul. Our service never stops. And that reminded me of my friend, Pastor Robert Jimenez. I'm sure you guys know who Pastor Robert Jimenez is. That man served until the end. And we would joke about it. We would joke about it that one day he would die in church because he just served so much he never left. You know, I'd give him a call and I'd say, hey, Pastor Robert. And he'd answer the phone, Jesus loves you, like he always did. I'd say, what are you doing? He goes, oh, he'd kind of chuckle. I'm in the hospital. I have 3 cracked ribs. I was walking down some steps and I tripped and I fell and cracked my ribs. So I'm in the hospital. I was like, and he goes, man, it's okay. When I get out, I got things to do and I'll go back to church. And he did. I mean, through a fractured neck, through multiple bouts of sickness, that man never gave up. And I never seen a man give and go so much as he did. Nor knew a man who knew as many people as he did. If we ever needed anything, because he was involved with the Rangers with us, if we ever needed anything to get a hold of something, it could be an obscure piece of equipment that we need. Call Pastor Robert. He knows. He knows where to get it. And he'd get it for us. He'd come up with it somehow. But he served until the end. And I remember that last Sunday of his life here on earth, he was here in this church. He was sitting right in that area, and I had the privilege of being able to preach that morning. And he had just gotten out of the hospital because he was having heart problems, and he was weak, but he came to church because that's what he did. That's what he did. He went to church and he preached the message, and then he was there, and he stayed to the end, and later he texted me some encouraging words and told me to keep going and not give up. And that night he passed. I remember Pastor Dale called me in the morning. But he served until the end. And that's us. That's got to be us. We got to serve until the end. We can't give up. We can't get weary. We can't let life put us behind. We can't let little hindrances, you know, stop us from serving. Oh, you know, they didn't give me the curriculum that I need. I guess I can't teach the class. I'm done. No, you got to move past that. You got to do what God has called you to do, no matter what it is he's called you to do. We serve until the end. So I see that in Ruth's answer to Naomi, that she was loyal, she was faithful, and she was determined not to have things her way or do what she wanted, but she wanted to do what God had called her to do. She left all that she knew was comfortable and behind, and she went and followed Naomi. And she committed to be there to the end. And we need to commit to our Lord. To the end, we're going to serve you. To me, that's what serving is all about. Another story that we can see in the Bible is found in the book of Luke. And to me, serving should not be a distraction. Right, what we do, what we serve, it shouldn't be a distraction. But we need to be focused, because we can be so focused. We can be so focused on serving. We can be so focused on getting the task done that we're distracted and we miss the Lord. We miss what we're there for. And I see that in the story between Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, you can read that in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Now as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted from much serving." She was distracted from much serving. "And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now, I don't know, when I read that story, I kind of put my little vernacular, my little scene on that, and I could just see, you know, Mary being all frustrated, and she goes to the Lord, Martha being all frustrated, and she goes to the Lord, "Jesus, come on, look at this, she's just sitting there, come on, what's she doing? She's just sitting at your feet," and you know, and then he goes, "Martha, Martha, Martha," which reminds me of the Brady Bunch, you know, right? And he corrects her, and he tells her. I don't know if it played out that way, but that's how it plays out in my mind. But Martha didn't get the help she wanted from Mary. And so she was probably frustrated, overwhelmed. You know, as many of you know who have put on dinners or gatherings or parties, it's a lot to do. There's a lot of hot dogs to cook when you have people coming over. There's a lot of things to get done. And Martha was all concerned about that. And it wasn't that Mary was lazy. Okay, I'm pretty sure she had some stuff to prepare and she got it done. But it's just that she took time to sit at the feet of Jesus. She took time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it hit me when we were singing that song earlier. I forget which one it was, a song, but it talked about sitting at Jesus' feet. We can't be so distracted from serving, so caught up in the business of serving, that we miss sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because that's what serving is all about. It's not being about distracted. It's not being about getting the job done or getting the task done. Serving is about being at the feet of Jesus and learning from him. And then when we do that, when we learn that, then we can go out and serve. And sure, there are some people that serve so much and they get frustrated because they're not getting what they want to get done or things to happen the way they want it to happen and things aren't going right. And they get frustrated and their heart's right, but they just get frustrated and give up. But I wonder, had they taken the time to sit at the feet of Jesus, right in the midst of that chaos, right in the midst of all that party going on, all that getting ready, the Son of God is sitting in your living room on the recliner chair right there. Take the time to sit at his feet and listen to him. And Mary did that. And we need to do that. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and take the time to listen to him. And all this time that Martha was busy, not only did she miss sitting at the feet of Jesus, she missed one thing. Because right in verse 42, it says, or Jesus says, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. So what is that one thing? What is that one thing that's necessary that Jesus is talking about? Well, if you look in Psalms 27, verse 4, and Bob, I don't have that scripture for you, so don't panic and try and look for it. Psalms 27, verse 4 says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That was the one thing he asked to seek. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 22 says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. There's one thing you're still missing. He says, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. So that one thing that Jesus was talking about is that we need to follow him. We need to take the time to sit at his feet. We need to take the time to listen to him. Charles Spurgeon, a great theologian back in the day, said, the one thing needful evidently in that which Mary chose, that good part which should not be taken away from her, very clearly, this was to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear the word. That was the good thing that she chose, was to sit at the feet of Jesus. And we got to choose that once in a while. And I believe that's part of serving. That's part of being a servant, is that sometimes we just got to choose to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has to say and hear what he has to tell us. And to sit at the feet of Jesus implies that we have submission to him, right? We're giving into his will. He's taking the time to sit there, and we got to take the time to stop. Sure, we could be doing 100,000 things. Sure, we could be grilling up all those hot dogs and getting ready for the party. But we got to submit to him and sit at his feet and just listen. And when we spend time with him, that little rebellious nature that rises up in our hearts is going to be settled. We won't have those tendencies that we want to go off and do our own things, but we're going to want to spend more time with him. To sit at the feet of Jesus implies that we have the faith in who he is. That sitting at his feet is not a waste of time. We believe in who he is and what he does. And taking that time, taking our valuable time, because our time is valuable. It is. We only have a few of it. But taking that time and sitting at Jesus' feet is going to add value to our lives. You can't take away from them. There's no price you could put on that time to waking up first thing in the morning. And whether you have a devotion on your phone or you just sit there with a cup of coffee and just think and think about Jesus. You take that time to be at his feet. To sit at the feet of Jesus implies discipleship. Right? That we want to spend the time with him and learn about him and hear from him. And understand what he's all about. That's what sitting at the feet of Jesus does. And to sit at the feet of Jesus, lastly and most, I think, importantly, implies love. That we're devoted to him. That we care about him. We want to serve him. that we would take the time to sit at his feet and listen. That we would take the time to sit at his feet and hear his heart and let our hearts connect. That we would just take the time just to be still in his presence and listen to that still small voice. That's all part of serving. And Mary knew that. There are people like Mary that will take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And there's people like Martha that is so busy and caught up in the serving part that they miss it. But we got to remember the one thing. And the one thing is to spend time with the Lord. A personal, continued focus on who Jesus is. And when we serve and when we take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus, we learn about who we are. We learn about what God wants us to be. And we learn about all that we can be through the Lord. So we serve. Serving is about being loyalty, about being loyal. Sometimes it's about giving up what we want, and it's being committed to the end. And remembering to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus asked us to do, that one thing. If I could have Stephen come up and play the guitar. As I talk about our last story here, this last point on what it means to serve is, you know, Jesus doesn't look at our past. He doesn't look at at what we've done, but he looks at our heart and our willingness to give it a go. And that's what he did with Peter. Let me give you a little story for that one. It was several days after the resurrection of Jesus had happened, and some of the disciples wanted to go out and go fishing. So they went out fishing on the Sea of Tiberias. And after fishing all night and all morning and throwing their nets out to the left and to the right and to the front and to the back and maybe using a lure here and there and some power bait like we do nowadays, they caught nothing. They were skunked. Nothing. And that's recorded in the Bible. And I don't know a man in here would say, yeah, I caught nothing. They at least have a story like, oh, I had a big one and he got away. You know, it was bending my pole like that and I was bringing him in and he got away. But the Bible says they caught nothing, that their nets were completely emptied. And what's more frustrating and what's more getting you in a downer is to go out all day and all night and catch nothing. So they said, let's give it up. So they're heading back in the shore, and they saw a man standing on the shore. And the man yelled out, hey, cast the net on the right side, and you'll haul them all in. And they did. They threw their net on the right side, and there was a huge load. It was a big old net full of fish. They couldn't even believe it that they caught all that stuff. You know, all they had to do all this time was just throw it on the right side. And as they were coming in closer to the shore, they recognized who that man was, and that was Jesus. He was standing on the shore waiting for them. And when they got to shore, they saw Jesus. He had a fire going. He was getting ready to cook up some fish for breakfast. You see, I knew I loved Jesus for a reason. Man likes to build a fire and cook on the lakeside some fish. Doesn't get any better than that, in my view. My wife will have a different opinion about that. But he was there. He was there for them, and they cooked a breakfast. And then after breakfast, Jesus had a talk with Peter. And in verse 15, covered it with my sticky note. It says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter answered three times, you know that I love you, Lord. Quite the different response from several nights earlier where he was asked three times, do you know who Jesus is? And he denied him three times. So Jesus was given the opportunity to make that up. And it wasn't for Jesus' sake, it was for Peter's sake to make that up. And Peter's answers to Jesus simply shows that he was willing to follow him. He was willing to serve him. Peter knew that he blew it. Peter knew that he messed up. And he knew that, and Jesus didn't hold that against him. And Peter is hoping that Jesus therefore knows that he loves him with the best love of which he, a sinful human being, is capable. And I think that's what Jesus is asking us. Love him with the best love that we can, that we're capable of. Because we are a sinful person. We have that sinful nature in us that we just can't get rid of. And we are going to blow it. We are going to get frustrated when it comes time to serve. We are going to get upset when things don't go our way. But why do we serve? Why do we do what God has called us to do? It's because we love Jesus. And he's asked us to serve. He's asked us to feed his sheep. And it's interesting how he says it three different ways there. The first time he says, when he asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I do. He says, feed my lambs. Right, if you look at a lamb, lambs are small baby sheep or young sheep. And how do you treat those young sheep? With gentleness, with tenderness, with care. You can't expect a lamb to know as much as a full-grown sheep does. Right? When we serve, we can't expect a young Christian to know us as a well-established Christian knows. We got to have patience with them. We got to be calm with them. Sometimes we have to carry them. Sometimes it means we pick them up. They don't want to go and they're stubborn. You pick them up and you say, come along with me. You carry them. That's serving. The second time he asks them, do you love me? And this time he says, you know what I do? And he says, then tend my sheep. So the first time he said, feed my lambs. The second time he says, tend my sheep. And the verbiage there means more to be the exercise of a shepherd or a pastor, where we direct, where we guide, we lead, we encourage. Not so much carry at this point, but we walk alongside with them and we show them and we love them and we encourage them. We tend to their needs. We don't baby them, we don't coddle them, but we tend to them. And we bring them along in ministry and we serve them in that manner. And then the third time, Jesus tells them, then feed my sheep. And sheep is just, you know, the general emphasis of the species. But to me, the emphasis there is he says, my sheep. Jesus says, my sheep. Not your sheep. This is not my flock. This is not Pastor Dale's. Right? We are Jesus' sheep. And when we serve, we're not serving in the capacity of, oh, this is my class, or this is my pastorship, or this is my leadership. No, we're serving that these are God's sheep. These people, these children, whoever we're working with belong to the Lord. And we got to serve them in such a manner. And that's what Jesus calls us to do when we serve. Is to serve with loyalty. To serve with devotion. Sometimes we got to give up and move on to another thing. Sometimes we may not feel like we have anything to offer. But we still serve. Because Jesus is the one that qualifies us. God is the one that gives us enough strength to be good enough, to be holy enough. It's nothing that we can do. But like Peter, Jesus is asking us the same simple question. Do you love me? It's not convoluted. It's not complex. It's not hard to understand. It's simply, do you love me? It's not, what have you done for me this week? How much time have you spent praying in your prayer closet this week? How much time have you spent in the Word this week? How many times did you go to church this week? It's, do you love me? And that's that love that what gets us through. And if you answer yes, you know that I love you, Lord, then Jesus is calling you to feed my sheep. He's calling you to serve in whatever capacity that may be. It may be cleaning up on a Sunday morning. It could be vacuuming floors. It could be going to Carrizo to preach a message. But if we love Jesus, then we need to feed his sheep. We need to serve him. Right? He's asking, then serve me. Be loyal to me. Trust me to the end and spend time at my feet. That's when we serve him well. And that's what I see out of these three stories. And if you keep on reading on those stories, you'll see that they all had good endings. They were all blessed at the end, right? Ruth received her redemption through Boaz, where she was redeemed and brought back up again. Mary was able to spend that time at the feet of Jesus, and personally that was hers. And look what Peter went on to go and do, right? On the day of Pentecost, where he preached that message and thousands were saved in all that he did. He didn't give up. He just kept going, and he just served. And we can have those same blessings too. We can make a difference in this world. We can make a difference in the lives of those around us. We can make a difference in this community, in this church, in our workplaces, wherever we're at. If we just learn to follow him and to serve him with all that we've got and all that he's called us to be. Let's pray. You stand with me this morning. We can pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. And I thank you for this opportunity that we have just to come into your house and to spend time with you and to hear from you and to spend time in worship and know you. And I pray, God, as the message that I felt you gave and put in my heart was spoken this morning, that it would just penetrate the hearts of all of us here. Oh God, what it means to serve. What it means to serve you. God, it's not a light thing. It's not something that's a task or a chore. But God, it's something that we need to delight in doing. Because we look at the examples laid before us and how you served us. Right, you said you came to serve and not to be served. And what better example did you live out than for us to see that? So I pray, God, as we grow and as we grow in you, Father, you would just continue to give us that heart and that desire to serve. And I pray, God, that you would just open our eyes and open our hearts and be able to put the correlation between if we love you, then we'll feed your sheep. And when we do so, it requires all those things, to be loyal, to spend time with you, to sit at your feet. It's not just simply standing in front of a Sunday school class or teaching, God, but it's spending that time with you. It's serving you that allows us to serve others. So, Father, I pray that this morning we would grasp that. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, we always want to give an opportunity for everyone here that if you felt like you're not even serving the Lord this morning and you've kind of stepped away from that part of service and you want to step back into that community, you want to step back into that fellowship with the Lord. If that's you, you say, Lord, today I want to serve the Lord again. Or if today I want to serve the Lord for the first time, I want to build that relationship with him. Just raise your hand. Simply raise your hand. God will see that and he'll know your heart. He'll know what you want. He'll know that you've made that commitment to Him. And secondly, if you want to, if you say, man, I've wanted to serve, but I just haven't been able to, and I want to have that heart. I want to have that heart about service. I want Jesus to know that I love Him, and I'm going to feed His sheep. I'm going to feed His sheep. If that's you and you need a little extra encouragement this morning, you want God to give you a little extra faith in that, you just raise your hand in that area. And God's going to feel that. He's going to know that. He's going to see your heart. If that's you, if you're encouraged to serve, He sees those hands. He sees your heart, most importantly, and He knows our desires. So, Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, God, for bringing us here on a day such as this, to spend time in worship and to hear your word. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we all go about our daily business, as we all go about what You've called us to do, that God, we would remember what it is to serve You with the loyalty of Ruth, with the lifestyle of Ruth, to spend time at Your feet like Mary, and to know that we've been forgiven and we've been encouraged and given a second chance over and over like Peter to serve You. So I pray, God, as we go about our daily business, that You would just keep that in our hearts and in our minds, what it means to serve You, what it means to live for You, what it means to love You. So Father, I pray a blessing over Your body. I ask You, cover them and protect them as they head out, as they go about their daily week and their weekly business, and they do their daily activities, Father, You would just watch over them and protect them. And God, bring us back here again next Sunday, again into Your house, to learn more from You and to hear more from You. And Father, we're grateful and thankful for all that we have. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all the church says, amen.